Welcome in to episode 117 of the Godly Young Men podcast. As you can tell, we have the esteemed Jack Wilkie.
A very special guest today.
Joining us. Right. Yes, a gym very debut. Special guest. And I can't believe this is your gym debut, to be honest.
We've only had two other guests, both of them my brothers.
True.
And so adding another brother to the list.
Brotherly podcast.
That's right.
But yeah, obviously we were on our other podcast, Think Deeper, with Jack. And we've been doing that for longer than this one. So go check that one out if you have not listened to any of Think Deeper. You'll get a lot more of Jack. But Jack has a very interesting story. As I said, I can't believe this is his first time here. We're going to let him tell the story because I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to get into the topic of the episode here, which is health, nutrition. I guess you guys are kind of...
Yeah, we did a working out episode. I think it was our fourth episode we ever did was about working out. Maybe it was in the first 10. And then since then, we really haven't done much fitness related. I mean, we've talked about it. It's been kind of a thread throughout other episodes, maybe a point here or there. But specifically fitness, specifically diet and eating well, we haven't done a full episode on before. And so we thought, what better person to have on here for that than Jack, who, as Joe said, has a great story, a really inspiring story about that. And so I don't know what the best way to set you up on that, Jack, is, but kind of, I mean, maybe start with where you were 10 years ago versus where you are now type of thing.
Yeah, I'll just run with it. I mean, it's unfortunate. I don't really know why, but as a kid, just gained weight at one point. It stayed on. I didn't ever eat that much. Like, it was kind of weird. Like, Joe and the rest of my siblings actually would out-eat me, and it was just, like, held on to it, and it stayed with me. And it was just kind of like, well, I guess that's how I am. That's the metabolism God gave me, all that stuff. It was 2012, so I was college age, all that, right out of college. I was finally kind of like, okay, I got to do something about this. I actually can do something about this. So,
how old were you in 2012?
That would have been 22.
22, okay.
Yeah. So, started working out, interval training, kind of cardio, a little bit of weightlifting, and lost, I think it was like 30 pounds there in a few months. I was like, cool, great, this is wonderful, you know, worked out just great. Didn't eat any better. It was just kind of, you got enough energy. You haven't been doing anything. You start doing something, you know, your burn picks up. But then I hit a plateau. Like, the same weight as 220 was, I would hit 220, which is not healthy, but I just couldn't go any farther. I'd slowly gain it back. Well, a couple years later, 2014, I really got into it some more. I think you did the T25 thing, mm-hmm. right? And it was like you see those P90X. It was like a short version of that for people who don't have time, kind of CrossFit-y, kind of cardio.
Full body type stuff.
Yeah.
Sean T.
Man. And it was really rough. I mean, it was hard stuff, right?
Yeah.
Lost 30 pounds again, got back to that plateau again, stopped. And again, it was funny. I don't know if you ever read like the literature they gave us. They're like, this doesn't work if you don't add diet with it. I'm like,
I never read that.
Whatever.
Yeah. I did the workout, lost the weight, hit the plateau, stopped. The next year, tried to pick it up again, didn't lose as much. And I just kept always going back to, I had a set high point and a set low point almost every year. Mm-hmm. I'd do that. Well, then, and you guys were around for this, I got married in 2016 when my wife lived 6 hours away. So I was driving, you know, before we got married. So a lot of fast food.
A lot of
drive-thrus. A lot of 7-Eleven, you know, Coke bottles and hot dogs or whatever. And so then that habit just sets in. You're like, I'm just used to going to the drive-thru. I'm used to picking up some fries,
the
whatever.
Dopamine hit. Yeah.
And it's like you can't go to the town to pick up groceries without, I'll drive-thru and grab something again. Not good. So by the end of that, I never saw 300 on the scale, but
close.
It was real close, and I probably was. I think I lost a little before I started weighing, and so I probably did hit around 300. And I felt bad. My wife got married. I brought her into my bad habits, and so she gained, and so I was like, I got to get serious about this. So that was where she got pregnant with our first daughter. And over the course of that pregnancy, I lost 50 pounds. So, 65 actually. So I got in
65 pounds.
Yeah, so,
my goodness.
Came down to the 220s, but again, hit that plateau, stopped. Well, I did that one with the intermittent fasting thing. That was really coming on the scene at that time.
It's a big deal there for a bit.
Yeah, I did the 16-8 thing, you know, and so...
Not eat for 16 and eat for an 8-hour window.
Yeah. And so I would... for me, I would go almost... Because I never was a big breakfast guy. Like, I didn't have a big appetite.
Jack used to do corn dogs for breakfast growing up. Corn dogs and cold pizza.
Yeah, I mean, like, junk, whatever junk was around, you know, like, just didn't have good habits. And so I know a lot of people, that's still like a thing, right? The intermittent fasting. I guess we could talk a little bit about why that it worked for a time. Again, hit the plateau, and when you hit the plateau, it's like, well, what do I do now?
Well, you see that with a lot of fad-ish diets, I guess. Right. I know a lot of people are into keto, and then I've heard like you can't really do keto forever. There's the paleo diet. Carnivore is, to me, the one that's biggest right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, this is where I'm really glad that you're on the episode, because I'm not knowledgeable enough about those to know kind of are they good, are they bad. My observation from those type of fad diets is that they're not sustainable is the word that I would use for a lot of them. Maybe some of them are. Again, I'm not as bought into or as familiar with what carnivore is. But specifically with keto, paleo, some of those other ones, none of them seem very sustainable. So is that kind of what you've seen with a lot of the intermittent fasting, I suppose, is? But even that, too, does not seem the most sustainable.
I hated it so much. You probably haven't. Have you tried it? Never?
Very, very little.
And I did this for 9 months, and you get so tired of it. You're looking at the clock like, man, can I eat yet? Can I eat yet? And I know some people enjoy it, but I don't know. It was not sustainable for me, and I know for a lot of people it's not. The keto one we'll get to in a minute. But
what were your 8 hours that you ate?
I would go almost all day and then mid-afternoon. So one or two, and then I'd eat, and then, until 9 or 12 to 8, somewhere in that. Yes. And then, of course, as I said, you run out of gas, and so it's now I'll go 18 hours and only eat in a 6-hour window.
Now, in intermittent fasting, you can still eat whatever you want, right? It's just what
that's the idea is basically fill up, don't worry about it, just kind of, and your macros don't matter that much. And they've gotten better about pay attention to what you're eating. But the big pitch originally was, man, you can eat as much as you want, whatever you want, just in this window, and then let your body digest, fast, all that. So
it seems like carnivore and keto and all these fad diets, people experience amazing weight loss initially, and it's probably because you haven't tried anything, right? I mean, anything you try at this point is going to lose weight. You go
from eating garbage to actually having a plan for it. Correct.
You eat McDonald's every day to, yes, okay, if you go to paying attention to your food at all. But it does seem like it's plateaued, and you can continue on with your journey if you want, but I'm curious, how did you crack the 220 plateau? Because this is now, I think you said, the third time you hit that plateau, you go down to 220, and then flatline, and you can't do it, you add more on, it doesn't work, and then I think you just end up giving up. At least that happened at least a couple times.
Right.
So how do you break the plateau? Maybe there's more in the story before you get there.
So the intermittent fasting thing, again, it ran into a wall. So then it was the low carb thing and kind of keto-ish. And that one of all of them is the hardest to sustain. You just think about carbs and think about everything that's carbs, of fruits, vegetables, just stuff you like to snack, bread, things like that. And you're exactly right that I guess we should talk about a little bit why people are drawn to these and why they do work to a degree, because there might be a lot of people I should say this, there are people who are devotees of the it's almost religiously this is what I have to do, this is the only thing I can do, because you get good results. One of the reasons you get good results is everything you said. It's not so much that you cut out carbs, is that you realize I can't go to McDonald's anymore, I can't grab the snack pack, the cinnamon roll, and the plastic wrap package in the vending machine at work. It's not carbs that you cut out that saved you. It's junk that you had to cut out to get there, right?
Yeah.
So there's a real appeal in that of, man, I feel amazing. You're going to, as you say, it's not sustainable because you're going to, you can't ever have an orange again. You can't have a glass
of milk. And there's really
good
health benefits to fruit and vegetables and cutting all those out. Yeah, that's what's, never really made sense to me.
Right, and that's one of the other reasons why that one runs into all. So on the journey, what we were on, 2018 is where I did the intermittent fasting, lost a bunch of weight, slowly came back on some of it, not all the way, because I had gotten all the way up to almost the 300. Well, I got back in the 240s the next year, low carb, got back down to that 220 again, hit the wall again.
That's so interesting.
It was ridiculous that I think one of the things, I'll take a break in the middle of this. The thing I learned from that is just keep going until you figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm still figuring it out. You do have control over this is the thing I learned at the start of, there's things you can do. The second thing is, okay, you failed, you hit a wall, this diet didn't work, that one didn't work. You can keep going. Just pick yourself back up.
I wanted to say we're going to probably end, or maybe towards the end of this episode, we're going to talk about why this matters for men. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that, think that talking about weight or talking about diet is kind of off limits. You're not really supposed to talk about people's weight in the church, or whether or not somebody is a little heavy or eats unhealthy. Who's to say? Type of thing.
Can't judge.
Can't judge. And I obviously Joe and I have talked about this to some extent on maybe several of the 116 episodes that we've had now. But with Jack here, I do want to ask you kind of again later on. I do want to get your perspective on why this matters for men specifically, I think most of all, I want to talk about why it's in bounds to talk about. Yeah. Because I do think it's within bounds for somebody to specifically from a Christian perspective, to say you need to lay off the fast food. Like, you need to stop, you know, lay off the Twinkies or whatever it is, the little Debbie cakes that people eat. But we'll save that for later, Jack. As you kind of continue through your journey here, my question before you get back to that is, like, would you recommend any of those diets, or are most of those like, hey, just obviously you're going to get to what worked for you. And so obviously I'm guessing that's what you're mostly going to recommend.
Right.
But are any, would godly young men who maybe struggle with this, would they be better off not trying any of those, or would you recommend them?
I'd recommend not staying away from them.
Gotcha.
Again, I know that people say, well, it's worked for me. It works for a lot of people up to a point. This is a really interesting thing. And I Googled it on the way, like before I was coming over here to do this episode. Just to double check on this, but in recent years, a lot of the biggest keto, carnivore, intermittent fasting influencers have all said, I quit.
Like, interesting. Like, no, it's not sustainable.
People sold books, people that sold courses, YouTubers, podcasters that made a career out of it. And it's funny, you can look on some of the YouTube channels in the comments of like, dude, like, I've been living this whole way because you told me this is what to do, and now you're changing. And what they all realize is, there's an energy crash. Like,
really?
Yeah, if you need food for fuel, and that's, we're going to get to where I'm kind of getting to now, but especially the carb thing, like, you run out. There's only so much, and that's why you see people lose weight really fast, hit a wall, and usually it comes back, and a lot of times over what they went, you know, started it at, because the body goes, whatever you give me, I'm hanging on to. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, without getting too technical, I'm not a scientist or anything, and all of this is, I'm not giving anyone specific nutritious advice.
Medical expert here.
I don't want a diabetic person who's like, oh, he said orange juice, I'm going to, like, you do have to, there's a customization to a degree for everybody. On the other hand, when you eat carbs, your body can store it as glycogen, which is energy, you know, that it's going to use when, there's some really interesting stuff we might get to when I have a minute, or if we have a minute later. When you start keto, what your body does is goes through all of that. Like, it eats all of the storage that you have. And then what happens when it runs out? And the same thing with intermittent fasting. Cortisol. Well, what's cortisol? It's a stress hormone. Because your body has to start breaking itself down to get sugars, glucose. Like, your body runs on glucose whether you're eating it or not.
So you're losing weight initially on these, but it's really unhealthy.
Well, it's unhealthy, and that's why you see, like, hair loss or bad sleep or, not to be gross, but constipation, things like that. People talk about their digestion gets all messed up. Because,
that's interesting.
You know, and so, like, the intermittent fasting, like, I'm not hungry in the morning. This works great for me. You're not hungry in the morning is a bad sign.
It
means your body's not running. Like, you're one of the, an engine that's running on fumes kind of thing. And so, I don't recommend those. That's a good question. So, I don't know where that leaves us.
Well, go ahead.
No, go forward.
I was just saying, what happened next for your story here?
So, 2020, they locked us in our homes. That's a terrible thing in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it gave me time to, you know, find Twitter accounts that were talking about stuff, nutrition, health.
When it was still Twitter. That's funny.
It was. You're right. It was Twitter at the time, so I'm historically accurate. And there's this book that people were talking about, Deep Nutrition by Dr. Kate Shanahan, 400-page book. I was really bored. It's very, very
it's heavy, robust.
Clunky. But she gets into the stuff you shouldn't, you know, like the stuff that we're fed in our modern diet that tears us up, and how, like, we used to know how to eat, then we forgot it over the last 70 years, and here's how you get back to it. And so it was then that I started cutting out the seed oils that you hear about. It's kind of a big meme now, but it's like, really, get rid of them. Watching, you know, trying to eat more nutritious stuff, you know, meats and eggs and better eggs, you know, like local pastured eggs versus store eggs. And this can get a little bit expensive. You got to be careful with it, but that was the lesson I learned at that point. I didn't lose any weight that year, but I started getting rid of bad stuff, and you start seeing benefits from that.
Gotcha. Okay, just out of curiosity, let me get the screen. Why, you mentioned seed oils real fast. Why is that in the zeitgeist now? Like, why, where does that start? Because seed oils, if you read this, I mean, I think they've been bad for us pretty much all along. Yeah. It didn't start in the last 5 years, but it really seems like people have come. That's
RFK,
coming to the public consciousness.
RFK is really helping with that.
Is it RFK? Like, where did the consciousness of seed oils begin? Because that is a meme, as you said. A lot of the guys, godly men, are probably aware of, like, the detrimental nature of seed oils. But why did that all of a sudden become a big deal?
You know, it's a combination of all of those things and the information getting out. There was a guy, I might talk about him a little bit later, very unorthodox thinker, but Dr. Ray Peet was writing on this like 30 years ago. And the funny thing is, where we need to be accurate on this is, it's not just the seed oils. It's what the what makes the seed oils bad is these polyunsaturated fatty acids. Mm. So PUFAs, as PUFAs. They told you saturated fat is bad. So butter, beef fat, coconut oil, olive oil has some saturated fat, you know, things like that. Stay away from those. You want the unsaturated fat. Your body, like when it gets heated, that was the great thing about deep nutrition. She goes into all the ways that it messes you up. Mm. Your heart health, your weight, your digestion, your appetite, your skin. I mean, like, I Joe was around for, I was a little bit of a fanatic there about it for a while. And I'm still almost never eat it as much as I can. When you read it, it is horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, how
like scars much. You, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, she was writing about how, like, sports injuries she had and, like, people, kids being fed on this stuff, your ligaments, your muscles, every part of your body is weaker. Because these, what you eat is, I mean, you are what you eat, the building blocks of your body. Yeah. And these are terrible. Like, well, they're not fit for human consumption, essentially.
I want to talk for a second about kind of the fast food culture that we're in, because that's where, and speaking for somebody who works for Chick-fil-A,
right.
And I, part of my job, one of the benefits, I get free food. I don't eat the fries. I don't eat the fried chicken. I eat a ton of grilled stuff and fruit about as much as I can, because I do see, and you hear this about how America is such an obese culture, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, everybody is just very, very unhealthy. And you look around, and it really is no surprise. You see, you know, fast food is an example. You brought up kind of the gas station type stuff. Yeah. But, like, just very, very processed stuff. And I look around at that, and I see people, and I basically, honestly, having kids was a big part of it, too, for me. Yeah. Like, I don't want my kids ingesting this stuff. Yeah. I've got on here the food dyes and stuff that my wife did a lot of research on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would see a difference if Jackson, our oldest, was given something with a food dye. And maybe it was in our heads, but truly, I don't think it is. Like, it causes a reaction in our bodies. And so I didn't know, Jack, if you wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the culture that we're in, which is very just the food that tastes really good, but that is very poorly produced, very ultra processed, and is just very bad for your body. But it's so easy, man. It's right. So easy to go get fast food. It's so easy to go out to eat constantly, or to get, you know, frozen pizza or whatever it is from the store. And that's the stuff that I feel like, for godly young men who maybe are not going on this journey yet, that's the hardest thing to get away from, mm-hmm. is that lifestyle, the right. fast food lifestyle, all those things. So any thoughts on that before you keep going?
Yeah, that's a really great point, because the easiest thing to do is go, I mean, does it really matter? Does it?
I've heard a lot of people say, like, well, it hadn't killed me yet. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, your grandparents didn't eat that. You did, or we ate this growing up. Like, no, you didn't. If you look at the ingredient changes, even McDonald's, French fries, Coca-Cola, like all the changes that have happened over the years, and the ingredient list gets longer and longer. And that was part of the 2020 thing, was exactly what you're saying. All the Oreo packages in the house went out, all the Doritos, you know, all the chips, those things, because they're really tasty. They're just convenient. You just, you know, I'm hungry, I'm going to put some in my mouth. But they're not satiating, so you eat a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you eat is bad for you. It is obesogenic. I mean, your body clings onto it. And so it matters so much. When you mention your kids, this is where the, oh, how much does it really matter? You can see, of my four kids, how my wife and I ate when she had the kids. I mean, like, you mm-hmm. can, like, and I feel really bad about that we've gotten better with each time. Mm-hmm. Their health, their, you know, their metabolism, things like that. And you think that's crazy? That 400-page book, she gets into that, of, like, this affects your kids.
Oh, it makes sense. And, like, what the wife eats when she's pregnant type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, because it's the building blocks of your baby. And so, I mean, like, this, and so if you're young, or you're starting now, and that was, again, what we learned in 2020 was throw so much stuff out. And you can go to what? I can't eat anything tasty again? We'll get to, like,
cheat days and stuff.
Well, not even in that so much, but, like, natural. Like, if you learn how to make it yourself, you can make really good stuff, but cheat days too and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, just that. So 2020 was get rid of all the bad stuff, was what I learned there. Was throw all this stuff out. Start from scratch. Start simple, you know.
It's so funny, too, because some of my earliest memories with you guys, you know, fondest memories, was like we would eat. I remember going to your house in Texas when I was 15 with you, man. And so Joe went to the store and we just loaded up on junk. Oh, I remember doing that with one of my one of my buddies, Garrett Aiken. When I would go stay with him, we'd go to Walmart and just, you know, rack up.
Yep.
I get, like, sick thinking about that now, but, like, that's what we used to do, is just load up on junk, load up on fast food. We'd plan out which fast food places we were going to hit. And it's just a, I don't know, as Joe spoke to earlier, it is kind of, again, maybe I'm just getting older, have kids, whatever, or whatever, but it does seem like a bit of a different culture as far as the zeitgeist now is like, hey, watch out for that stuff.
Yeah. People are way more aware these days of just how bad stuff is. I will say there is some part of being young. Eat healthy, obviously. Yeah. There's a part of being, like, I think about, we did the 4x4 at In-N-Out. Yeah. You know me? Really stupid. That would kill me if I did that today.
I can still put that away.
I was playing hockey all the time. You know, I was, what, 18, maybe 17? Like, there is a time and place to enjoy some things. Really, this is about being mindful. It's about paying attention. And I think that's something that I appreciate about you so much of what you've done. It has been a consistent growth process where you pay attention to these things. Like, and that's what we're advocating
being
for.
Being intentional. Trial and error.
Yes, read the books, just the trial and error, the paying attention. Read the studies online. Go look at this for yourself. I mean, I think it's a, you can just take our word for it. Don't do that. Take your, because it's going to be so much more powerful. You could have just gotten on Twitter, read a couple things, and been like, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. Instead, you ingest a 400-page book. And. I mean, you've told me all the studies you've read and things like that. Like, you really did the research. And that's what we're saying is, if you're a godly young man listening to this, put in the research. Do the time. Find the studies. You know, come to your own conclusions on all the things that you're seeing of like, okay, what about those seed oils? What about those food dyes? You're going to see, and I guess it depends on the source because some are going to say it's fine, but like, you're going to see, by and large, these things are bad for a reason. Like, this is why we're talking about this. I'm not the perfect person in saying this, which is largely why I've been quiet. Like, my diet is still being cleaned up, but it's a constant process. My wife is working with it. We're going back to like einkorn flour and things like that. Like, once you study it, and we're reading a lot more on this stuff, like, you will make the changes, I feel like, as long as you're putting the time and effort in yourself, not just taking what the culture says. And that's where I have a problem with the carnivore and the keto, is it's very popular, very faddish, but very little research is done by the average person, in my opinion, by the average person
doing it. They're
just
following the crowd.
They're following what everybody else does. They read a couple things like, hey, good to go, let's try it, rather than really digging in it. So I want to use that to get back to your story, because where that leaves us is, so we talk about the plateau. You get down to 220, intermittent fasting.
Read the book in 2020.
Read the book in 2020. Starts to change your life. What takes place after 2020?
So 2021, I added good foods in. You know, the more red meat, steak and eggs, you know, kind of stuff like that. Because that was a big thing. Steak and eggs are the most nutritious thing you can have. And I could tell I started getting healthier, you know, certain markers or whatever. But I really wasn't losing weight. I was building a little bit of muscle. But, again, those good things. But I mean, people are telling me, you don't even need to look at calories or any of that stuff. Just if you eat good foods, you'll lose weight. Again, I just parked on that plateau and just didn't move. So it's 2022, whereas I finally...
Which we started Think Deeper in January of 2022.
We did, and it's kind
of
funny. On the Focus Press YouTube channel, you can go back on. There's some early videos, the Think Fasts, and it's really cool to go back and look at the January videos, the March videos, the June videos, and, you know, like, there's the progression.
I was going to bring that up, like, not to make you uncomfortable or anything, but, like, your face went from this to, like, very chiseled where it is now, and it is a very cool thing to see.
I'm proud of it, you know, to look on it. And that, what I did is, and there's a really great Substack, Bowtied Ox Substack. There's a Bowtied community. They all are experts on different stuff. And he's just fitness and health. He's a weightlifter kind of guy. He'll help you get started in weightlifting. So I was reading up on that all through the holidays. Got home that January. Got a gym membership. Got a calorie tracking app. That's a big part of this. You know, I still do, just because I'm neurotic about it. You really don't need to do that every day. That's 3+ years later.
It's like me with budgets. That's how Jack
is. It
is,
exactly. Yeah. Right. And so it's, but here's the thing, I'm going to tell everybody listening to this, if you have not done it, and I've told Joe, I've told you guys the same thing, do it for a week. Do it for a month. Because you're shocked. You take a little tablespoon, put coconut oil, put, you know, olive oil in there, whatever. That's 120 calories. Or something growing up in our family, like, is, oh, you don't have time to eat? Tablespoon of butter. Or peanut butter, I mean. Butter. Tablespoon of the Jif peanut butter. Well, number one, most peanut butters are loaded with seed oils.
Yeah, Jif peanut butter, yikes.
Even the natural ones are PUFA laden, so they're not as bad as the other ones where they got canola oil or whatever, but they're still not good for you. Well, you'd eat that. Well, that's like 200 calories in just a spoon of it. Number one. Number two, you're like, well, you eat that because you don't get hungry for a while. Yeah, because it's crashing your metabolism. Like, it's not, you know, and so it's things like that. Well, you don't know. And so you'll look at a plate and be like, oh, I probably ate 400 calories. And when you punch it in, it's like 800. And so you'd look at that stuff, and there's calculators online to calculate, like, how much are you burning in a day? So you need to know, okay, do I sit at a desk all day? Do I get steps? Do I do all this stuff? And so it was the habits of, and that was part of 2021 as well, get sunlight, get up and move. I've got a, you know, I'm at a desk a lot, you know, get 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day. go to sleep on time. I mean, these things, you think, ah, this doesn't matter. All of those contribute greatly to how you feel on a day in and day out basis, right? Your energy levels, your attitude, your are you grumpy, are you things like that? Go to, have you been outside and gotten fresh air and sunlight? I mean, like, things like that. So let me catch my breath there.
I was going to bring up the caloric deficit thing. So I've seen with both my wife and my mom, and then obviously with Jack is the strongest example that I've seen of the, like, set aside carnivore, keto, all that. If you want to lose weight, it is as simple, and I'm not trying to simplify it. Maybe you can correct me here. It's as simple as a math equation. Like, it literally, what's funny is, Jack, we've gotten into online, not debates necessarily, but people that disagree who will say, you know, I've tried a caloric deficit and it doesn't work for me and all these things. And, like, you know, I'll let you speak to that if you want. But to me, it is as simple as, if you want to lose weight, you need to burn more calories than you ingest. It is not that difficult. What's difficult is the accurate tracking and the just diligence to keep tracking it, because that's what, like, my mom tried it for a while and then kind of got off of it and then got back on it. My wife also, she did a great job for several months and then kind of got off of it, but you have to be consistent with it. But I mean, not to speak for you, to me, that's been the clearest way I've seen it. Like, if you want to lose weight, just be in a caloric deficit. It's literally that simple.
Yeah. So that, I mean, we talked about that plateau I kept hitting, and I crept up back to 240 again. And then just lost down to, well, you know, like 70 plus pounds just doing that. The calorie app, there's some free ones. I bought a $2 one that had some extra features. I mean, this is not a difficult thing. The other thing is a food scale. Just measure what you eat, you know, like this much
protein. That's how you're accurate with it, too.
Yeah, like, you can't just estimate, that's probably this much, you know, chicken or whatever. Like, and I apologize to my wife all the time. She's used to it. She doesn't care. You know, she's always like, it doesn't matter. But every night, like, all right, how much chicken do you want? All right, 6 ounces. You know, because, again, I'm neurotic about it. You don't need to do this for 3 years like I do, but you need to for a little while to be able to eyeball a plate and be like, that's probably this much, or, like, I need to bring it back. So you mentioned the math equation, calories in, calories out. It's undefeated. I mean, if you're not losing weight, you're just not breaking
on your calculation is wrong somehow,
So what I've learned in the time since then is, so I guess I need to complete the journey to get to where we are today. Yeah. Last year, you guys saw, I got pretty gaunt there. I was just seeing, like, I've never been thin in my life. Like, let's see how
if you don't mind me asking, how low did you get?
165, which is not that low for a normal 5'9 person, but we've got this weird family build where we hold, like, we're just way more than, like, I mean, you guys saw, it was like, you know.
You're pretty thin. Is,
You know, again, those are on video. Low. You can go see.
Our LA trip, I look at the picture, like, whoa, Jack was real skinny.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is I had bottomed out my calories so low, I couldn't lose any more weight unless I went to, like, almost nothing.
Yeah.
My sleep was getting worse, hair was thinning out, other, like, digestive issues. It was bad. And so what I was learning is, thin is not always healthy. Now, that doesn't mean the body positivity thing. Oh, I can be 300 and be healthy. No, you
Lizzo,
can't.
Lizzo. Yeah.
Like, and so what I did is I was like, okay, I'm going to bulk up and add muscle. So, and I did, you know, bulked up for a while, and I'm actually at the high point of the bulk. I'm working on getting back down in the kind of in between where I am now, where I was then. But what I learned was, you want to be healthy, and it is those markers. Do you sleep through the night? Do you go to the bathroom every day? I mean, like, not to be crude, but like, it's your body working, you know, honestly, probably a couple times a day if you're doing really well. You know, hair falling out, or, you know, your skin, is it clear? Is it things like that? Your body temperature and your pulse are really big ones. People think, like, a really low pulse is great because, oh, you know, like marathon runners, they run on cortisol. It's not healthy for them. A lot of them die early, heart problems. Like, it's not great. But in my mom's this way, I'm this way. A lot of people in our family are, you know, you hear 98.6 should be your, like, walking around temperature. When I started measuring this, it was at 95.8.
Oh, my goodness.
Jack's, like, dead.
Well, yeah. And my pulse was, like, at 50. And I'm like, oh, 50 pulse. I'm like Lance Armstrong. Like, like, no, that's called hypothyroid. Your body's not working, right? And so it's, you need to be eating enough and good stuff and things like that to get yourself to a where you're running properly, right? And so that's kind of what I'm working on now, is getting enough carbs, getting enough protein, getting the right kinds of fats. And here's the other thing is, when I was down at that kind of bottom weight, I was at 1,500 calories a day. Couldn't lose any more weight. That's not great as a grown man.
Yeah.
So what I've done in the time since then, and I basically, without losing any weight, added very slowly 50 to 100 calories a week to 3,000 a day. That's a lot nicer. Like, you're not starving all the time. I've got more energy and stuff like that,
But without gaining any weight, you're burning 3,000.
Right, and you have to add that slowly. You can't go, oh, well, I'm supposed to eat 3,000. Okay, I'll double my calories. You're going to gain all kinds of weight, right? Yep. So a lot of people actually are under-eating. So that, for the example, a guy, a very overweight guy, we're talking about, said, oh, I've been in low calorie and I can't lose weight. What he probably needs to do is add it very slowly for a few months, hang out there for a few months, and then drop it back down. Because there is a certain point at which you can drop down and you're just not getting enough nutrients to live on. And you can lose weight that way, but you're going to get to where I was, where you're gaunt. I was watching one of the Focus Press videos. My eyes were just like... I looked like I had no energy. I mean, well, one other thing, and then we'll finish up with a couple other points. I ran hill sprints yesterday. I hadn't done that in a while. I used to do that, you know, at my lowest weight. It would wreck me for like 2 hours. Like, I'd go in and just lay on the floor. I mean, because that hill that mom and dad live on, it's straight, it's rough, you know, 45-degree angle, it feels like. And I would be so out of energy. Well, I did it yesterday. I was tired, but I felt good. Like, I didn't go lay down or anything like that because I have energy, you know, like I'm eating enough to support things like that.
I want to bring in two things here. I mean, we're already at the 30-minute mark, so we need to wrap up soon. But one of them is, you just touched on it, so I guess I'll bring it up. And that is exercise and how much, man, why that's so important for godly young men. And so I guess what I'll tee you up on is – specifically bringing in exercise, like what would you – what I want to talk about is like practical. Like where do they go from here? Let's say a godly young man's listening to this going, okay, maybe I eat okay, but I'd like to lose some weight, or I'd like to incorporate some of this better diet, some exercise. Right. I guess what I'm getting at is, or what I'm asking you is like where do they go from here practically speaking, both with exercise and working out? And then what I did want to know also is like are there foods, things that they should just completely stay away from? And when is it okay to cheat day is kind of – I don't love that term. But like what's their – like when is it okay to enjoy a vice and not alcohol or stuff like that? But you know what I mean, like a sugar type of thing. Like when is that okay from your perspective?
Okay, so
– loaded you up there on questions.
No, the first part, the exercise part, where are you now? Because like that T25 thing, we went from people not exercising to doing – this insane thing. I was like, what are we doing? You know, like, so if you have a desk job, you don't ever get out and walk in the sunlight for 20 minutes, you know, like get your step count up, look at, I mean, every phone comes with, it just counts it for you. Look at it, aim for 7,000 a day, start there, lift weights, start small. You know, you don't need to go in there and be Arnold. But you know, you guys have talked about it for godly young men. Lifting weights does a lot of good for you.
You need to lift weights,
Yeah, it's good. It humbles you because you realize, man, I'm not lifting, you know, 500 pounds and stuff like that. But the other thing is, like, for testosterone, for all kinds of processes, it's good for you. Cardio, and I think this goes into the next question you had about, you know, cheat days or other stuff like that. One of the things that I really try to emphasize with people, yes, I'm neurotic about the calorie counting, the scale, the food scale, all that stuff. You don't have to be an insane person. I did the hill sprints yesterday. I don't almost ever run. Like, if I do, it's the one time a week I do 10 minutes of hill sprints. I hate running. My knees, like my flat feet, I don't run. Yeah. And people think, man, I've got to get on the treadmill for 45 minutes. Like, that's a great way to burn out all the energy in your body and just start having it eat itself, right? Like, it's not great for you. And that's why we've talked about this. The marathon runners, they're all bald. Like, you notice guys that are big runners, their hair falls out because of the stress you're putting your body under. So, you don't have to be crazy on things like that. The workouts, you don't need to be in the gym for 4 hours. Joe and I do 45 minutes to an hour. I know you go in, like, you have a life. Like, you can't be in there all day. So don't go nuts on that. As far as the food, the cheat day, so this is interesting. Like, I eat pizza, ice cream, you know, things like that pretty regularly, but I make it myself. Because I control the ingredients.
I was going to say Jack's V-shred over here.
Yeah, yeah. I like that guy.
I hate these. Yeah, Little Caesar's pizzas.
And that's the problem. And so, like, for me, an actual cheat or an actual vice day or whatever is, hey, we're in town. Let's go to Hattie B's for some hot chicken. Yeah. It's fried chicken, fries. It's very bad for you. Once every month or two, you know, whatever. That's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
If you're doing good day-to-day, if you don't have Oreos and Doritos around the house, if you're not, you know, just slamming all kinds of, you know, junk like that. Honestly, you know, like, well, you guys have seen, I'll have a Coke, you know, I'm not bad on that. But I get the cane sugar ones.
Yeah.
In fact, right now Pepsi sells a cane sugar non-corn syrup one. Because when we talk about sugars, it's like, well, what do you mean? Do you mean a donut? Because that's sugar and polyunsaturated fatty acids. Do you mean, you know, what are we talking here? Are we talking about a cup of orange juice? Are we talking about an orange? Are we talking about honey? Are we talking about...
Yeah.
That matters a lot. And so, I mean, I have sugar every single day. I take orange juice to the gym because it's fuel, you know. It's So don't cut out all sugar. Don't go nuts. You know, like, it's just kind of, you got to get a balance. But good proteins, quality fats. Again, if you're making it yourself, I fry chicken in coconut oil. It's really not a big deal. You know, like, it's, you know, I wouldn't know, go to say that it's good for you, but it's not bad for you.
Yeah.
I fry French fries in coconut oil, you know, or you can do it in tallow and things like that, you know, like, and so, because I'll post online, hey, here's a, you know, a pizza I made, and people are like, oh, I thought you were on a diet. Like, I'm trying, what we talked about with keto earlier.
People
I'm,
actually comment that?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, you're taking, you know, taking a day off, huh? Like, no, actually, I'm not. This fits in what I eat.
That's crazy.
And so, that's the thing, more than anything, as we're wrapping towards the end here, you don't have to be an insane person.
Yeah.
You don't have to run 50 minutes a day, never eat anything tasty again, any of that stuff. Like, find a way to make it work.
I did, me and Rachel, ironically enough, this was after Jackson was born. We did not. Remember we did 75 hard challenge.
Crazy people.
And I would like to do it again, but man, it is the crazy person of you do 2 45-minute workouts every single day for so you're an hour and a half, 90 minutes
a
day.
How do you not
burn
your body out?
It's crazy. Well, one of them is supposed to be indoor, out. Like, one of them is supposed to be indoor, one of them is supposed to be outdoor. So, you know, I went to the gym every day and then either jump roped or, you know, I didn't like counting a walk as exercise. I joked with Rachel because Rachel did, and I was like, that's not real exercise. It really is.
Yeah.
I didn't view it that way for me. So I would try to jump rope or run, but it is one of those things that's certainly not sustainable. Like, you can't work out for 90 minutes every single day. But I know I'm kind of driving it, Joe. I don't know if you have any thoughts. I was going to ask that question that I wanted to get to, unless about kind of why this matters. But did you have anything else you wanted to bring up about kind of the food, exercise, all that?
No, I was just going to say what I've heard is weightlifting and zone 2 cardio a couple times a week is basically like the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Like, you will lose plenty. And zone 2 cardio is not that much. You're talking like a little bit more of a maybe a jog type thing, right?
Not even a jog.
Is it not even a jog?
I do uphill walks. You get on the treadmill, you know, angle it up. And yeah, I mean, you mildly get out of breath. Like, well, in zone 2, it's above, you know, like there's 5 zones or 6 or something like that. And, you know, the top is you're out of breath, you know, just barely able to stand up. Zone 2 is right above the bottom. Find a calculator online, you know, it'll tell you how, what heart rate, you know, you get on a treadmill, you watch or something, something like that. And it's not, it's really not that much. And if you, you know, walking, if, yeah, it's really good for you. It gets you moving, burns calories,
So, Jack, why does this matter? I previewed it earlier about how there are a lot of people that think this is out of bounds to talk about. That specifically, you wrote an article entitled The Obese Preacher Problem, which was a great article. Got a lot of people upset. Got a lot of people, hey, you can't talk about that. Again, like, we shouldn't judge, or, again, just they think it's out of bounds.
Right.
And we have obviously planted our flag here on the Godly Men podcast that basically nothing is out of bounds. We've covered just about everything that there is to cover on stuff that's not really biblically related sometimes, but that we are going to plant our flag on. But this, I guess, again, I'll just ask, like, why do you think this is within bounds, and why is this so important for men specifically? It's obviously important for females as well. It's important to be healthy. It's important, you know, for bearing children and stuff, as you spoke to. But for men specifically, why is this such a big deal to not frequent, to not have 6 different fast food restaurants on your bank statement every single week?
Yeah. So, I mean, the seed oils, all this, like, the bad stuff, we talked about it, how it affects your body. One of the things it does for men is block testosterone production. You become more estrogenic, which makes you weaker. And so it's kind of, you know, there's the thing, the fight or flight. If you're an obese person, you can't run, but you can't fight either. So you just have to negotiate. You have to, and I mean, there's this great post that goes around every now and then about, like, women and low testosterone men can't do those things, and so they are, the only thing they can do is conform their opinions to the people around them. And so when you see weak men, like men that can't stand up to somebody, men that are whether pushed around by their wife, or, you know, a preacher that you know, is always, he preaches the very soft gospel, like, we're not going to ever call anyone to anything else, or the kinds of thing you guys talk about, it comes from the food you eat. That is a big part
of it. That's so fascinating.
And I mean, you talk about, like, all the effects of, like, you know, muscularity, a deeper voice, you know, like, the stuff that comes from being a man comes from food that you eat, comes from your time in the gym, comes from things like that. And that was the article you talked about, is, like, it matters for a church to have a preacher who's a man. There's a reason God made men preachers, and we need men who are men to be preachers. We can't have men who are women to be preachers. And literally, this food that you eat turns you womanly. I mean, like, this is... the research is all there. I'll direct you guys to it. But, I mean, what you're getting at is this really does matter.
Did you notice – I think the answer is yes on this. Did you notice a shift in your ideology as you're getting it?
I mean, like, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail of all the political and religious, like, ways that it changed. But it's kind of like stuff that I can stand behind and you know, put my back into. I believe now than I didn't back then, when it was kind of like, oh, let's all get along kind of stuff. Like, and I mean, like, there's literally studies that say this, of like, testosterone levels correlate with political views.
That's like, crazy, man.
This stuff affects your ideology, and so it matters.
How much does community play? I know we got to wrap up here, but how much does community play a role? Because you found your online community on Twitter at the time, X. You were in the Bowtie communities. You were getting his email. You had me sign up for his email. Really good information. Yeah. Really good stuff. Great workout program. So I feel like you found your community. For the average guy that's listening to this, obviously join our Discord.
Yeah.
Of course, we got a fitness part of the Discord.
Leon, which men don't skip leg days.
That's right.
Don't skip leg days.
Grab the shirt. And we probably could be doing more on the Discord. That's something we're going to look into. Hopefully, as we get closer to summer, maybe on some of these. We're not experts. We're not going to give you workout programs per se. But I do think
Jack
community.
Jack might be an expert.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I do think community plays a role. But like, how big of a role did that play for you to find the right people with the right information?
Finding the right information, well, it was that kind of thing of just keep going back until you get there.
Okay.
You know, and it, like, one of the slogans in one of these communities I found is perceive, think, act. Be like, when we go to a Mexican restaurant, eat the tortilla chips, I feel terrible. I don't do good on corn. Okay, I noticed that. I'm going to act on it, not eat that kind of thing that much, and it's in seed oil, all the other stuff you get into. Just pay attention, and that's, you know, okay, is this thing that I'm trying, is this keto, is this intermittent fasting, do I like it? Am I happy on this? Is this working? Have I run into a wall? Just keep going. And so you might migrate from one community to the next, and I really have over the years. So you don't necessarily have to have this loyalty, because I see that people are loyal to bad ideas. Do what works for you. Find people on that journey with you. It helps. It's just nice.
You did a lot of it on your own, obviously, because you're going to the gym in Texas on your own, and so, which is really, really impressive. I was curious on the online if that did help to be able to ask questions or to, you know, gain information from other people.
A little bit, but mostly you got to be doing it for yourself.
Okay.
You got to be, you know, as a man, again, that conviction of like, this matters to who I am. Take that. Say, I owe it to God to make the best of this vessel that He's given me. Hmm. Start there and just keep working.
And it's not an arrogance thing, but you do feel better about yourself when you are not eating all the junk and stuff. Like Rachel and I have pretty well cut fast food completely out of our diet. I enjoy a good fast food burger every now and then, but that's about the extent of it. And it's just one of those things, you do feel better. It's the same way as, you know, if you eat a lot of sugar and stop, you just feel better. And so we are well over our time. I want to thank Jack for making his debut with us and
thank
for sharing all of his wisdom.
Great.
And it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. Again, it's in the zeitgeist right now. People are talking about this, but I think it's something that is very important for godly young men, that it does matter. And if it's something you're like, hey, I really want some more information about that, hit us up in the Discord. I'm sure Jack's got articles and stuff he can send, or videos and whatnot, that are super beneficial for somebody who's really wanting to go a little bit deeper than we have time for on an episode like this. But that's all I got. Jack, again, appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Joe, any final thoughts?
No, this was great.
Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll wrap right there. This has been episode 117 of the Godly Men Podcast. Thank you so much.